sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say.
So, hey everybody, welcome to Voices from the Frontlines. This is your host, Eric Mann, and you're on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming live on the web at kpfk.org. Doing this show, Voices from the Frontlines, is exciting, it's hard. I'm so glad we have this show. I know it sounds funny since I'm the host, but one reason I'm glad we have it is because this is called Voices from the Frontlines, your national movement building show. And we're really trying to build this as a show that people would listen to all over the country in different cities, in Baltimore, in Philadelphia, all over the country through the streaming live on the web, kpfk.org, which you can listen to right now, and going on our website at www.voicesfromthefrontlines.com. And sending me emails, which I really appreciate, eric@voicesfromthefrontlines.com. Today on the show, we're going to be talking with Noel Hanrahan, one of my truly favorite freedom fighters, an enormously dedicated and successful person who has been running a great operation called Prison Radio, to which I'm not allowed to ask you to, but I can say that I'm a regular sustainer of right now and proud to be so, as is the Strategy Center. On Voices from the Frontlines, we talk about the role of intellect, the role of ideas. And one of the great political thinkers of our time is Mabiya Abu-Jamal. He's not simply, if that would not be enough, a heroic political prisoner, a freedom fighter, but he was jailed and tried to be murdered because he was a journalist, because he was a black intellectual, which is the most frightening thing to the system of black revolutionary intellectuals. So we're going to talk to Noel right now about a very urgent situation. In fact, I don't even know the most immediate developments, but his health is, he's in grave danger. I know that they're denying him every form of medical treatment. So Noel Hanrahan, very good to have you on Voices from the Frontlines.
You know, I really am happy to be here and joining you.
Well, it gives us a chance to do the work we do. Noel, why don't you start with just the most immediate factual update of what is going on? What is Mumia's actual medical condition right this minute, and what are the particular struggles going on to try to help him?
Mumia is being held incommunicado. His lawyer was up at SCI Mahanoy yesterday at the prison gates, and he was prevented from seeing him. Mumia was taken into the infirmary in the prison. He's been in and out of the infirmary. And he was kept there, and we have not been able to reach him by phone, even though his lawyer should be able to get a call from him. The infirmary has limited access to the phone, but also they are preventing him from calling. He hasn't been able to call his wife. This particular prison, all prisons have crazy rules, rules that they change arbitrarily, but this particular prison has a standing rule that there are no visits on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Also, Pennsylvania Prison Society members, of whom Johanna Fernandez is one, have constitutional access to these prisons, and they are not permitted to be prevented from going in. They have blocked them as well. So we are at a state of vigil. Mumia had another setback in his health on Friday. He was visited by his wife, Wadia Jamal, and Rachel Wolkenstein on Friday and Saturday, and the pictures that they came out with and the information they came out with is very distressing. His condition has worsened. Mumia had to update listeners who may not be on the cusp of what happened. Mumia had been sick for 3 months and had lost 80 pounds. And
God.
Had a couple of very chronic skin conditions and other chronic conditions that could be manageable, yet remained undiagnosed and untreated at this prison, to the point where they knew that he had high blood sugar, yet they didn't monitor it, and he went into a diabetic shock, became unconscious, was transported to a hospital in the ICU, and then was in the hospital for a few days, and before he could walk, he was returned to the prison, sent back to the infirmary, the very place that mismanaged his care to begin with. And we have been, since that moment, absolutely going 24 hours a day, mobilizing to get him an accurate diagnosis. We had put together a legal and a medical team because we knew he was sick, and we were working on that. And in fact, the day we were in trial in Harrisburg on March 30th, we were all there, the lawyer. We had sent Johanna Fernandez to get his medical records signed off on, and she reported to us as we were in court that he had been transported to the hospital. A guard said to her, "We're not supposed to tell you, but he went out of here in an ambulance a couple hours ago."
Wow.
And we learned also when we went, then immediately all of us drove Mumia's brother, Mumia's lawyer, Brett Grote from the Abolitionist Law Center, Johanna Fernandez, Pam Africa, and I, and Rachel Wolkenstein drove to the ICU of this hospital in Pottsville, and they refused to tell us that he was there. So we remained in the ICU waiting room for 20 hours without... We saw the guards. We saw his feet when we were at the nurses' station. The nurses would not tell us he was even there or whether he was in a coma. So that was an experience that I hadn't had before, but it made me understand what the families of the disappeared go through. It made me understand what it would mean to wonder if you're going to find your loved one at a morgue. And it was very distressing and very disturbing.
The voice you're hearing is Noel Hanrahan, who's devoted just much of her life, not just to help Mumia Abu-Jamal, but at the Strategy Center this Saturday night, we're having our 26th annual political party, and my talk is going to be called President Obama, No Cars, No Tanks, and Free Mumia Abu-Jamal and All Political Prisoners. And during the 60s, when we said, you know, free all political prisoners, there was great support and understanding, not just that the entire black community was a political prisoner, but that these political prisoners were real people with real names. I've never seen, in terms of all the work that you've done, Noel, I guess one question I have, are there any liberal, progressive, you understand, non-revolutionary forces willing to touch this case? Because this is, we want to be very careful about rhetoric, but this is as close to an assassination as by medical neglect as anything we could imagine.
It's interesting because Mumia is exceptional. It's true in many ways. And his case and his politics and his courage and his resilience. And at the very same time, in every single way, Mumia is the common man. You know, he's experiencing exactly the same kind of medical neglect that every single diabetic in Pennsylvania prisons is experiencing. He is not exceptionalized in that way. And the same is true in terms of Mumia Abu-Jamal as a black man who was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to death. He is experiencing the same type of forces that could converge on the place, an urban community that has a potential for resistance, the class, poor people of which he is or is from, and then race, and also revolutionary. I mean, I'm sure that's just added in the mix, but it could have happened to him whether he was a revolutionary or not. The fact that he has been able, that he is a revolutionary, meant he could understand what was happening to him and talk about it in a way that provided immense clarity. And what I say right now is, hey, Mumia Abu-Jamal has reached out to us, and he continues to reach out to us. We need, right now, to reach out to him.
Well, I want to focus, I have a couple of thoughts, but much more importantly than thoughts is let's continue to discuss the call for action. What do you want us to do? What do you need us to do? I'll tell you something, though. I called all the numbers that you told me to, you know, I'm on the email, thank goodness, of Prison Radio. I read everything you send. Well, I'm one of your best listeners, readers. But I called the governor's office and it said, you are closed, you know, call back Monday. I called the prison and I think I got another machine that wouldn't take anything. Has that been other people's experience? Because still, I still mean I made the calls. But what do you want us to do?
Well, let me tell you that making the calls does matter. There's techniques and persistence, right? So we're asking people to call for 15 minutes the same number because there are some numbers, the prison number in particular, that they have to answer. Now, they won't answer it for a while, and then they will answer it. And then there's the Department of Corrections. You can leave a message on Wetzel's machine. That's good. So there's a number of tactics that people can use. Paper letters are good. Faxes are good. Flooding their emails are good. What it means when people kind of shine that bright, white, hot spotlight on these people is that it changes what's possible on the ground for us. Even if it changes a little, it's worth it. We were only able to get his family in to see Mumia in the ICU and then get people in to see him in the infirmary because of the public pressure. Now, another thing that happened was there were diagnostic tests that we desperately need. He didn't get diagnostic tests in the hospital. This is a hospital and a prison system that's controlled by the Wexford Corporation. It's like a contracted out healthcare service. Wow. They are trying to minimize the diagnostic care that anybody gets because it's a dollar sign issue for them. But once he was returned to the infirmary, the public pressure was so great that they shipped him back to the hospital and gave him a CAT scan. So that is the kind of thing that can happen from people's ability to actually pound the prison. So people should really continue every single phone number, every single fax, the letter. It does matter. Now, the other thing
Wait, let me just get that before I forget. Not before, because I want you to have several times to give our listeners. Obviously, the first thing, I think, is to be able to go online, right, to go online to Prison Radio, because you're going to give out a lot of numbers. People are going to try to write it down. But where should they go? Where can they get all these phone numbers and all these action calls?
Mumia's Facebook page is the thing that's the most vibrant in terms of its responsiveness, because there's just a lot of postings all the time. And then secondarily...
For people like me, how do you get on Mumia's Facebook page?
I guess you would just put in Mumia in the search engine when you go to Facebook.
Okay.
And you'll pull it up, and
okay,
it's the official Mumia page. Then another one you can do, and it's also linked to this one, which is www.freemumia.com. That one is associated with the New York Coalition, and that has really good updates. Prison Radio has updates, but not as good because we are so busy. Not as good as, and we're really short-staffed, not as good as those two.
All right, so freemumia.com, right?
Right.
Which is what I'll do because I don't, no, seriously, because I don't do Facebook. And also just search Mumia on Facebook and get on the page for those of you that know what to do. Now, I'm asking you something. I'm trying to, you being our listeners, we need concrete assessment of how many are listening and, more importantly, how many are doing things. So, Noel, I would like people to send you an email so you know, or very frankly, we don't know what has been the result. What is the email that people, if they want to get involved, to say, hey, Noel, I did call the freemumia.com. I got on there. I did make a phone call. I went online. I did the Facebook page. What is the email that, because Prison Radio can receive emails and get a sense of the political frame. Where should we email you?
Okay. And also, we need it. When you make calls and you get feedback, we need it. We're providing a cheat sheet to people about how you call and how you can get through. So for each number, we provide a little summary of three sentences of, like, this is what you do, this is when they pick up, this is when you press zero, this is when you do whatever. So we got all that from people who gave us feedback. So we need your feedback about what's working, what they turned off, what they broke, you know, all of that.
And what is the email?
At prisonradio.org. INFO at prisonradio.org.
Folks, listen, I promise, I'm very serious, that as soon as I get home, I'm going to do it several times tonight, starting at around 6:30 as soon as I get back from the show. Please send me an email at eric@voicesfromthefrontlines.com indicating that you're reached by the show. Please send Noel an email, info@prisonradio.org. We really need to hear from you to understand. I'll be honest with you. I am trying to assess the value of this radio show. I'm trying to assess, as an organizer, who's out there and who's not out there. Now, there's listener numbers, which are not bad. But for me, Voices from the Front Lines is about getting people to do things. So I need to get an email, but much more importantly, Noel needs to get an email at info at prisonradio.org. But also, you want to go on the email she wants is to say you went on freemumia.com and you got the information and then you made the calls and this was your experience. Then you want to go on the Mumia Abu-Jamal Facebook page and post something there and indicate something and then spend 5 or 10 or 15 minutes trying to save a revolutionary prisoner whose very life is on life support right now.
I want to add, there are a couple other things people can do.
Please.
One is, we are raising money for the lawsuit and the doctors. And so we're at 31,000. We end in 5 days. Our goal now is 40,000. We actually really need that. We actually have spent what we can spend from it now. So we are short. We are totally short. I'm going to look for a loan in the next day so we can hire more lawyers. But the other thing, and so people, it's Rise for Mumia at BiteLeg. Go to prisonradio.org. It's right there. It's the Mumia. It's on Indiegogo. It's the Legal and Medical Defense Fund for Mumia. It's crucial, crucial, crucial that we do that. Another thing, we've got to be creative. Everyone who's listening is an activist that has done creative actions, whether it's the banner drop over the L.A. freeways, whether it's leafleting at your Quaker meeting, whether it's parking a yellow school bus across 5. There are tactics that we need to use that are escalating and demanding that the state pay attention to this issue. Whether it's just you holding a sign on Sunset Boulevard, the ripple matters. The actual consciousness changes when we all collectively take action. Now, the state's never going to privilege us by letting us know that it works. But at this moment, as Eric said in his introduction, we are in a change moment. We are in a transformative change moment. And every single tiny ripple that we push out is going to bring what we need faster, which is justice.
Well, several other things to our listeners. You know, I use the word so carefully, but I was a political prisoner in the sense that I got involved in a demonstration against the Harvard Center for International Affairs. We broke some windows. We spray-painted the NLF is going to win. The Harvard Center for International Affairs was and is a center for counterinsurgency, similar to the Institute for Defense Analysis at Columbia University, where these universities are basically carrying out genocide under academic cover. I had no concept, you know, being still college-educated and in the anti-racist, you know, revolutionary movement, I had never thought through, well, what would be the consequences of this action? You know, I it's stupid, but I don't know. Maybe I thought I'd get a month in prison at the most. Well, I ended up getting 2 years in prison for nothing, basically. For doing a lot. That was the point. I did not grasp the seriousness of what we did, but the system did. So I've been in prison for a year and a half. I've been in solitary for 40 days. I've been sick in prison, and I've been lucky enough first to have the prisoners rally around me, which is just amazing. And I had it a time in history where you could see a lawyer, you know, pretty regularly. And what Noelle is pointing out is that the loneliness of all the prisoners, I mean, the most terrifying thing is the perception that nobody is out there. And Mumia has had more people out there for him than most. But this is a time when he needs us just, you know, desperately, because he's both a symbol of, and he's also on the front lines of all the black prisoners in the United States who need him to win. So let's go slow again. I cannot ask you to give money, but I can ask Noelle to once again ask you to give money. Secondly, I can certainly tell you to go on freemumia.com to get your marching orders and march, and to go on the Mumia website. So, Noelle,
tell us the
things you want.
Eric, part of the magic of being part of Prison Radio is you become part of this thing that just gives you a lot of energy. We are also creating a culture of success. I didn't want to start with this, but this is the very first radio show that I get to announce that we defeated SB 508 today, the Mumia Abu-Jamal Silencing Act. We've got a decision from the Third Circuit that completely eviscerates the law that was taking away Mumia's microphone and his pencils. We won today.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Say it again. I mean it.
We won. We went to federal court. We got amazing lawyers from the Abolitionist Law Center and the Amistad Law Project. We sued 20 days after the governor signed a bill trying to take away Mumia's microphone. We went to federal court. We had a trial on March 30th, the same day Mumia actually went to the hospital, and we beat them. The quote from this lawsuit, the order, the memorandum that overturns this law permanently, says the First Amendment does not stop at the prison gates.
Super congratulations. I mean, I have both you and Mumia on the show, I think, to raise my morale. I urge you to go on our website, www.voicesfromthefrontlines. Go back and see the two conversations I had with Mumia Abu-Jamal about revolutionary theory, about history, about art, about culture, about Du Bois. What a just totally brilliant mind. And Noel, I just can't thank you enough. I mean, the work you do is both selfless and revolutionary. That's what a revolutionary does. You bring phenomenal energy. So this is an amazing story. I mean, this is, I'm going to go and write something tonight on our, put this thing out for the political party and several other things. So I'm going to go on Prison Radio, check it out.
It just Noel, it's not up there yet. We're
all right, no, I'm going to, I'll give you the scoop first. I will follow your scoop. So you on the last minute.
Scoop it.
Okay. So the main thing is, in your last minute, Noel Hanrahan, tell us everything you want us to do and say it slow.
Just take action. Be part of your community in every single way you can. Honor the fact that Mumia is giving his life for us, and we know there's a future that we need, and we're going to bring it home, and join us.
All right, so let's go all the things we need. info@prisonradio.org. She is asking you to go on that website, and if you want, to consider making a contribution. Also asking you to go on freemumia.com and download the instructions very carefully of what they're asking you to do. Then, first priority is to send Noel an email. This is not how hard, folks. Telling her what you did. If you have any energy left, send one to Eric at Voices from the Frontlines, or just CC me is a better way to do it, on the email. That would be fantastic. And then on Facebook, check out Mumia Abu-Jamal. Noel, obviously, this is Voices does what we call ongoing struggles. We don't just have you on and then good luck. So we're always here for Mumia. We're always here for you. Anytime you need to be on the show because there are things that need to be done. We'll be in touch every week. We'll be in touch every day. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. Take good care, everyone.
Take good care of yourself. That was Noel Hanrahan. Sorry, it's tearing me up. You know, it's like we get it. But the specific brutality of the system is almost hard to comprehend. As much as I spent my life fighting U.S. imperialism, it's worse than we could even imagine. And the revolution is needed more than ever. So, folks, you got a lot of things I'm asking you to do. Please, for the sake of all of us who are doing this show and all the people and formerly Abu-Jamal, this is not an entertainment show. It's a movement show. Do your job.